We have the best problems in the entire world when we've got children running around. It's great to hear all their, that's not problems though, that's just children growing up. It's so good to have you this morning. I am going to share with you a message that I believe is very important in this day and this age that we live in. Let me ask you a question first of all. Do beliefs have consequences? Okay, good. Thank you. Your beliefs, our beliefs, the world's beliefs have consequences. And if they do, then the teachings which become the beliefs are even more consequential and are more important. For the teachings are what breed the beliefs. I would like for us to read together. I'm going to have the scripture here. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to that, you can. But we're going to, if you would, read together this scripture. This is an NIV version. And if you would read it out loud with me, because I believe it's an admonition to the church at large. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is a command. This is an encouragement of Paul to Timothy and to the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk a bit about that this morning. First of all, I began to think, and I was watching Hitler and the Auschwitz solution. Many of you know what Auschwitz was. It was the internment camp of the Jewish people. It was an extermination camp during World War II. On the History Channel, some of the survivors returned to see the horrors of where they had escaped. And these survivors began to ask the tour director, were these people monsters? The answer came, no, they're not monsters. They were everyday people like you and I, who through their indoctrination and false teaching did some monstrous things. I remember hearing of the movement that began with the Nazis and how easily the people went along with the pop culture movement of the Nazis, and how people who would not imagine that they would ever do some of the things they did them because it became the thing to do in that culture. I went back myself and began to look at the history of Germany. Germany in the early 1900s began a movement led by Rudolf Bultmann in what was called form criticism and also redactive criticism. Now, this form criticism or redactive criticism was a new way of looking at the Bible and analyzing the Bible in different forms so that when you look at it, you begin to see how the oral traditions became written down. And it began to dislodge the validity of the Bible in the German culture. As a matter of fact, in the colleges and in the seminaries, the Word of God became watered down to where in the churches in the late 30s, they were nearly half empty. For the first time, the Word of God had no power in Germany. And you might say, well, what did that have to do? I am convinced that the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ gave solidarity and strength to the morality of the German people, and when that was taken away, something else could come in easily, and that was Nazism. So bad teaching breeds bad consequences. It always has. Good teaching, however, breeds good consequences. In 1955, a young man named Jim Elliot and four other missionaries went to the jungles of the Amazon to reach the Aka Indians on a beach that they named Palm Beach. They landed on it and waited for the Aka Indians to show up. You see, weeks before that, they had dropped care packages with food and different items that the people could use there to let them know that this plane was there because it cared about them. The five missionary young men stood on the beach and waited for 2 or 3 days for the Aka Indians to come and to meet them. They had gifts for them. A young lady came from the tribe, and they gave her gifts and talked with her in her native language through an interpreter, and she left and went back. Later on that night, a group of warriors from the Aka Indians came in and killed every one of the missionaries. The news hit the media, and it was broadcast all over the world, actually, that these missionaries had been killed. Brutally, they had to send in a military group to go and find them and get their bodies out. Later on, there was a book written in a movie, and it was called Through Gates of Splendor. It was based on a hymn that the men had sung before they left. And through this particular incident, Elizabeth Elliot, who wrote the book, decided she and Miss Saint, or Nate Saint, one of the other missionaries' wives, those two would go and take their children, they had little children, into the jungles, and there they would try to reach the Aka Indians, the ones that their husbands had been killed by. They went into the jungles, and amazingly, because they were women, they were not killed. They were accepted. They could not believe that the women did not have their men, and so they looked at the women as strange. And they brought their women into their tribe, and slowly but surely, Elizabeth Elliot began to teach them the teachings of Jesus. That particular tribe went from one of the most hideous, monstrous groups of people known as headhunters to people with a passion and a love that Jesus' teachings had transformed. The teachings of Jesus can transform a whole culture as it did that culture. As a matter of fact, it did so much that they began to come and accept Jesus and turn their lives over to Jesus. The first was Menkanvani. And Menkanvani was the very man who had killed Jim Elliot, the missionary. Elizabeth Elliot led him to the Lord. Menkanvani sort of took up with a six-year-old boy who was the son of Nate Saint, who was there in that village. And this particular relationship grew and grew, and Minkanvani began to lead other people to the Lord Jesus Christ in this particular tribe. And slowly but surely, Minkanvani and this young boy, now a teenage boy, began to have a relationship. And even to today, it is said that these two still have a relationship. Every 4 or 5 years, they go and meet together and reestablish their relationship. I believe that the Word of God, the teachings of God through Jesus, and the doctrines of the church are meant to be taught, they're meant to be understood, and they're meant to be learned and constantly rehearsed in the church. Now, basically, for those who might not know as much, doctrines are teachings of Jesus. The doctrines of the church are the teachings of Jesus. So when I say doctrines of the church, I mean teachings of Jesus. And actually, in our scripture that we read this morning, it speaks of them as doctrines. Okay? It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know that he charges them that they are to carry on these teachings. Why was this important? Because their beliefs have consequences. The beliefs of the church have consequences. Bad teaching breeds bad consequences in the church. Poor teaching breeds poor results in the church. And a lack of teaching of the doctrines of the church brings bad and sad consequences to the church. I am convinced that the church today has allowed itself to take on the nature of the pop culture. We no longer teach the things of God. As a matter of fact, there was a pastor and a read this past week where he said he left his church and went to another church, and they asked him, why did you leave that church? He said, because that church teaches doctrine. And I just want to go to a church where everybody just sort of loves each other. Now, this is a pastor speaking. This is a minister of the gospel. Where everybody just sort of loves. Isn't that what it's all about anyway? I've talked to a lot of people today, and especially a lot of the younger people, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't really get into all that teaching about Jesus and the doctrines, and I don't get into all that church stuff, because here's the point. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord thy God. Isn't that what it says? Yes, it says that, but you haven't read it all. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what he's saying is, you are to love God with your heart, you are to love him with your soul, you are to love him with your mind, and you are to love him with your strength. How do we do that? I don't think it's possible, but in spirit and in truth. Do you remember when Jesus went to the Samaritan woman at the well and he looked at her and she says, now we worship God up here on the mountain and you worship in Jerusalem at the temple. Basically, is there any difference? I mean, does it make any difference where you worship? And Jesus said this, you must worship the Lord thy God in spirit and in truth. In essence, you worship God with a spirit leading you in his presence, letting him guide you in worship, as well as the truth of the living God that comes through the teachings of Jesus. I listened to some of the kids and they say, well, I just don't get into all that stuff. What I get into is I believe God just wants us to do good stuff, benevolent acts, love. He just wants to see us love people. And that's how what God, that shows I love him. Is that right? I want to ask you a question. Anybody in here married? Is that right? If you want to show somebody that you love them and you're married to them, then you just go out and you say, let me see what I want to do today. I think I'll go fishing today to show my wife I love her. And to show my wife I love her, I'll take her best friend's husband and we'll go fishing. Now that's showing love. Oh, I know how I can show love to my wife. I can take her to a football game. You know what? I took my wife, we went down to, had to go down to Wilmington. It was a precursor that we do every year to get ready for our eighth grade trip. Then, so we went down there to make some arrangements. And while we were there, I listened to what my wife had to say. Now, isn't that good for husbands to do? That works, boys. I got news for you. She said, you know, I was looking on here and there's this cloth factory in Wilmington. I said, okay, when would you like to go? And she said, well, we got all this to do today. How about we go late this evening, Friday evening? I said, okay. So we went. Not because I thought it was a good thing to do. I didn't come up with the cloth factory thing. My wife did. To show her I loved her, I did what she wanted, not what I wanted or what I thought she wanted. I've given up that game. I can't figure out a woman. I only do what I know she likes, okay? And when she lets me know what she likes, so I do it. We do that. And I tell you what, it was a good thing. We did some other things, and I said, do you? And she looked at me, and she says, no, you pick where we're going to eat tonight. So she did the same thing. She wanted to know what I wanted, where I wanted to go. And so the whole point I'm trying to make is when you say you love someone and you want to express that love to them, you do what they want from you, not what you think will make them happy. And too many people in the world and in the church said, well, I'm doing this for God. Oh, really? Did God ask you to do that? Well, I don't know, but it sounds like a good thing to do for God. I'm being benevolent. God has given us ministries to do and things to do, but it's only as he leads us. It's amazing how we walk into these things. It's not like we plan them and they're next door. They're ready for us to take on. But the point is we follow God's leadership, not what we think God would want. And what did God say was the foundation of the faith? Well, what did Jesus say? I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone, any branch that stays in me will bear much fruit. So what is the fruit that we are supposed to bear that shows that we love him? It's the fruit when we're in him. The only way that I bear the fruit that shows God that I love him is when I'm in him. So what do I actually do? I actually work at being in him and the fruit comes. I don't sit around grunting and groaning over the fruit, which is where most people are today as far as their faith. Now, I got to work it up. No, you don't have to. You work on your relationship through the Spirit and truth, and God will produce the fruit that he expects out of you. So what does God want out of me? He wants you. spend time with him. He wants you to seek a relationship with him. He wants you to walk with him. And he wants you to seek his truth through the Spirit and truth. Now, his truth is the doctrines. His truth is the teachings of Jesus. Rod Dreher, who has wrote a couple of masterful pieces that I've read, said, "To prepare for eternal life, we must join ourselves to Christ and strive to live in harmony with the divine will." If I want to show someone that I love them, I do what shows that person I love them, usually by doing something that shows that I care about their will. To show God we love him, one of the things we must do is seek and to know what his teachings are. Well, why did God give us the teachings in his word? Why did God give them that? So that we would know what his will is for our lives. His teachings direct us to his will. And if we say we love him, then we are going to seek to know what his teachings are saying. We're going to seek to know what his will is. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy 1:13. "Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." This is what God wants for us. He wants us to guard that which he has given us, his teachings, guard it in our hearts. Do not let the things of this world carry you away from the teachings that I have given you. Now, the only way for me to guard the teachings of Jesus in my heart, in love to him, by the Spirit of God, is to review them, is to rehearse them, literally daily. You cannot memorize all the teachings of Jesus. There are hundreds. We are to be students of the Word of the living God, learning and following the teachings of Jesus. And this in itself shows God we love him. For when we are in him, we bear fruit. Don't worry about the fruit. The fruit will come if you're in him. I see so many people today that are more worried about the fruit than they are getting in Christ Jesus and having sound doctrine and sound teaching in their life. By the way, how do we normally come up with our theology or our philosophy of life? I read in a book this past week, we get it like a cold. You know how you catch a cold? You hang around with people long enough and you're going to catch what they've got. If you hang around with the world long enough, you're going to catch what their philosophy. You're going to catch their theology. If you text and email people who you're going to eventually lean towards their philosophy and you're going to catch it like a cold. The only way to stay away from that, the immunity that you gain is through the word of the living God, is through the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this, and people say, well, what are other doctrines? Let me give you the doctrines in the basic doctrines. Number one, the doctrine of theology, which is who God is, His nature. He has always been there. He is the creator of all things, and so on and so forth. The doctrine of theology. The second is the doctrine of Christology. Now, the doctrine of Christology is studying Jesus, who Jesus is, why he came, what his purpose was, and how we have a relationship with God through Jesus. The second is the doctrine of anthropology. Most of you know anthropology is the study of man. And so we do have a responsibility in the church to teach who man is. Because the world says man is an animal. No, we say man is a special creation of God. Beautiful in the eyes of God. And by the way, the greatest gift you can ever give a child is to teach them that they're special because God made them special. Fourth, the doctrine of soteriology. Now, the doctrine of soteriology, is salvation. How to become saved. How we share that with lost man. What is salvation? What is sin? How do we have victory over sin? That study, the doctrine of soteriology. And then five, the doctrine of ecclesiology. That's the doctrine of the church. Who the church is, the body of Christ, who we are, how our relationship is, what we should be doing for each other, how we walk together, and what we should be doing for each other in Christ. And then sixth, the doctrine of eschatology, which is the end times, judgment of God, eternity, heaven, hell, and so forth. Now, if the church's responsibility, as Paul talked about, is to teach the doctrines, then that is the responsibility of all the teaching organizations of the church. And I am calling for this morning all organizations of the church, the Sunday school, Wednesday night, Bible study, choir, the women's wings, and our children's Bible study, and Bible school, all of our teaching organizations. It is your responsibility to teach sound doctrine, not just anything. When we come together, we have people for a very short period of time. It is our responsibility to take that time very wisely and to teach them sound doctrine in that time. Because the rest of the week, they're catching colds out there with philosophies that are weird. I want you to know that I pledge to you that I will be teaching sound doctrine every week here at Cedar Fork. Not pop culture doctrine, and I want to ask that you get serious in your studying and in your meditating with the doctrines of the church. Now, how important do I think it is? Bad teachings lead to bad consequences. Poor teachings lead to sad consequences. And lack of teaching altogether leads to bad and sad consequences. And I want you to know that it will affect your marriage. It will affect your children. It will affect your home. It will affect and infect your community. There is only the church in this community, and I don't just mean the church, this body, but the church of Jesus Christ that has the teachings of Jesus that can spread those things to our community. I believe we should be studying diligently as students. In 2 Timothy also it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to boast, rightly dividing the words of truth. Rightly dividing the words of truth means this. You can read the Word of God and get bad teachings out of it if you are not led by the Holy Spirit and if it's not understood rightly. We should be rightly teaching the Word of God, not just teaching it, but rightly teaching it. Doctrines are right teachings of the Word of God. Okay? It's what has carried the church for thousands of years. And it's what's going to continue to carry the church. And it is what continues to carry your family and your faith. Now, I want to tell you something. I get aggravated at my students, by the way, I teach middle school. We start school in 2.5 weeks, and my heart just sank saying that. Middle schoolers are different types of humanity, and they're just different. And I think they've got me in there because it's a struggle, and you need to know how to handle the struggle. But I look forward to this year because we've got some new literature, and I believe it's very good. But one of the things that I do not tolerate in my classes, don't come into my class unless you have what? Does anybody know? Your tools. And what are the tools that most teachers require? Your textbook. Your notebook or your journal, whatever you use. Then third, pencil. Now, when I look at them and they come in, I mark them down. I look at them, they walk in the door, I say, where's your tools? Oh, let me go run and get them. If they say, I left it at home, I say, then I'm marking you down today. Why? Because you're not ready to study. You're just going to sit there and play with your phone. Text. And I know. Have you ever seen kids do this? If you ever see them, you know what they're doing. They're going. They're not looking at their stomachs. They don't have stomachs like me. They're looking at the phones. They are playing with text messages. I know it when I see it. And they do it because they didn't bring in their tools. So, long story. I want to ask you if you would be students, and I can't grade you like I do my students, and I'm not going to because we have too many visitors that come in. I want them to feel very comfortable to come into our worship. But for you that are members or a part of our fellowship, I'm going to ask, when you come to study, bring a Bible, maybe bring a notebook, and write your notes down and bring your Bible. Am I asking too much for that? No, I don't think so. And I believe we need to begin to become students of the Word of the living God. Why do you bring notes? By the way, people say, this is my journal. I've got another that's my prayer book. But in my journal, I make notes of the things I'm studying. Why do I do that? Because I forget. How many of you never forget anything? Raise your hands. Good, Vanessa. I'm glad you don't. But everybody else does. It's to me, the older I get, the harder it is to remember. And there are some beautiful stories or some beautiful scripture that God touches me with, and then I forget where it is. So I write it down. As a matter of fact, I walk around. Most of you do this. I understand you do this. You walk around with your little notebook in your pocket. And if I'm driving down the road and I hear something, I'll pull over and write it down in my book. At times it looks cryptic. I won't understand what I just wrote later on. But it's to remind me of something. Why? Because God doesn't speak to us only when we sit down and say, all right, God, I'm ready for you to speak to me. He speaks to you when you're driving in the car. He speaks to you when you're at work. He speaks to you when your children are aggravating you. He speaks to you in your least likely place at the least likely time. He speaks to you definitely in church. He speaks to you in your Bible studies. And if you don't have something to write down, I really believe you missed the moment. I believe we need to become students of the Word of the living God. So I encourage you to bring your Bible. I don't care which version you bring. And I don't care because it's all going to come out the same anyway. We'll probably mostly do NIV, which is what we have this morning. Right, Eileen? That was NIV? Yes. And we'll probably use that up here when we use it. But and actually, what I read on the other scripture was the ESV. So it doesn't make any difference. But I encourage you to become students of the Word and students of the doctrine. And those who are teachers, I encourage you to be doctrinal teachers with sound doctrine, rightly dividing the truth of God. In this church, we will not be conformed to the culture. One of the last elections, some of the things that were said amazed me. One of them was, you Christians are going to have to change your opinions on, and it was a moral issue. You Christians are going to have to change your opinions on. I'm saying, it's not my opinion, it's the Word of God. I just stand on the Word of God. I rightly divided the truth, and the truth is that this is not right. This is wrong. Therefore, I stand on that. And I'm not changing my opinion of that. My opinion is that God said it, it's right or wrong. That's my opinion. I believe that the whole culture we are living in, we need more than ever to have a desperate need for the doctrines of the church to be taught. And I promise you that through the rest of this year, I'm not going to say, all right, this is the doctrine of soteriology today. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preach on the things of God and the Word of God and the truth of God. But I am going to be preaching on doctrines. And I want you to listen carefully and to let God lead you into a strong and a vibrant walk with Him in His teachings as He taught them, not as we reinterpret them. And my goal is that we become stronger in the Lord this year and grow closer to Him. May you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray and ask that you would open up our hearts and show us, reveal to us your truth, that it might lead to a stronger home and family, that it might lead to a stronger relationship, that it might lead to a more right relationship with you, that it might build the church, that it might save our communities, that it might make us godly people. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what we know that you're going to do and have already done in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.